All right, so you may have noticed we have the kids in here with us this morning. Like I said, Pastor Janet is still up in northern Arizona. Her granddaughter's memorial service was yesterday. So be praying for that whole family still, the Alstrom family. They're going through a lot. So we have the kids in here with us this morning, and I'm going to incorporate them. Got a little craft for them and a little story for them. And so let me come over to where they're at, and I can talk to both of you guys at the same time here. Give me one second. All right, I'll just take this. All right, so kids, I'm preaching this morning on the Feast of Booths. You guys ever heard of the Feast of Booths? No? Yeah. I know you have because I talked to you about it already. All right. But the Feast of Booths was kind of like the Israelites' Thanksgiving. So that's why I want to talk to you about it here on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. But kids, you guys know who Moses was, right? Yeah? What did Moses do? What was one thing Moses did in the Bible?
I know.
What, Isaac?
I don't remember.
You don't remember. All right. Abby, what did Moses do? You don't know? You remember the story about the Red Sea and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea? Moses helped the Israelites escape from Egypt.
I know.
Yes.
I know one.
What?
Was it the story of Moses? I don't remember. Did he open the sea or did he turn to
Egypt? God gave him the power to make the sea part so the Israelites could escape from the Egyptians. Okay. He didn't turn it. He was a shepherd. He was a shepherd when he met the burning. Yeah, Abby?
He turned the sea into blood.
That was one of the plagues that he did on Egypt. Yeah, he turned the river into blood. But he helped the Israelites escape from Egypt, right? He brought them out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God sent him to set the Israelites free, to carry them out of Egypt and into the promised land, right? Where they are now in Israel. And so during this time that Moses brought the Israelites out of Egypt, but before the Israelites could get into the promised land, they had to spend 40 years living in the desert, in the wilderness. Can you imagine? How old are you, Josh? You're 10? Can you imagine living 30 more years than you are right now in the desert? Yeah. Not Wisconsin. It's actually a lot like Arizona. Lots of desert, but without the cool houses that we have now and the air conditioning and the you know, tile floors and carpet and real beds and all that stuff that we have now. They lived in the desert for 40 years before they got into the promised land. They lived in tents. They would set up tents in the wilderness and they would live in them. And then when God told them to move, they would pack up their tents and they would move. And then they would set up their tents when they stopped for the night. And they would just live in these tents for 40 years. They lived in these tents.
Hey, look, I had a spider, a head spider.
That's a great spider. There were spiders in the wilderness. The Israelites had to be careful. Yeah. So that's one of the spiders from the wilderness. You betcha. Lots of legs. And so Isaac, later in the Israelite people, after they got into the promised land, they used to, every year, they used to celebrate this Feast of Booths because they were remembering what their ancestors did when they had to live in the wilderness for 40 years. So what they would do for these, it's like we do with Christmas, right? Christmas we celebrate every year. Why do we celebrate Christmas every year? Because Jesus was born. Yeah, exactly. It's Jesus' birthday. That's right. So that's what we celebrate Christmas for every year. And every year, the Israelites would celebrate this Feast of Booths because it was remembering that the Israelites used to live in tents. So how many of you guys like to build forts? You guys like forts? Yeah, I know Abby does. Abby, raise your hand. I know you like to build forts because every time you have a friend come over to spend the night, you say, build a tent, Daddy! Build a fort with all the tall chairs and tie in the blankets. I know you like forts. Yeah, you make me build them too. And the tall chairs and tie the blankets to the chairs and try to get the ceiling as high as you can with a stick. Yes? I don't know. That's what this Feast of Booths really is. People went outside and would build forts. They would build these tents outside, and they would live in these tents for a week. They would build these big things out of just wood and branches and leaves, and they would live in these places for a whole week, just so they could remember what their ancestors went through living in the wilderness for 40 years. So that's what the Feast of Booths was. And it was a thanksgiving because they were thanking God for providing for them in the desert and for bringing them into the promised land after all those years. So what I want you guys to do, I've given you lots of Play-Doh and sticks and pipe cleaners, and I want you guys to take your Play-Doh and your sticks and all this stuff and build booths. Build a booth. Build something that like a Lego man could live in. You know, something with a roof and walls and all this. Build a little house out of your Play-Doh. Use a different thing of Play-Doh. Use the orange. And build me a booth. Okay, and then after I'm done talking to the adults over here, we're going to come back and we're going to look at your booths. And we're going to see how cool they are. Okay? Just build a wall and a ceiling and use sticks. Use the Play-Doh to make the sticks stick together and all that stuff. Yeah, okay. Little ones might need some help. So that while they're building their booths, and then we'll go look at them after service, and you guys can keep the Play-Doh and take it home with you if your mom doesn't mind. All right. So, in Leviticus chapter 23, that's where we're going to be this morning, talking about the Feast of Booths. In Leviticus chapter 23, God gave Moses this law for the Israelites, and he gave them seven feasts here in Leviticus chapter 23, seven feasts that they were to celebrate every year, celebrating different aspects of their culture and of their history. And the last feast, the seventh feast that God gave them to celebrate, was this Feast of Booths, which is really appropriate because it really is the Feast of Thanksgiving, the Feast of Rest. They were supposed to not do any work during on the first and the eighth days of this feast. They were supposed to rest, and so you know, on the seventh day of creation, what did God do? He rested. So it's appropriate that this is the seventh feast that God gave the Israelites to celebrate here in Leviticus chapter 23. I'm going to start reading in verse 39. It says, "So, beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the eighth day also is a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So the Israelites here, they were, for this feast, like I told the kids, they were to take these branches and wood, whatever they could find, and they were supposed to build these outdoor shelters that they left their homes and they lived in those places for 7 months. You know, some people, like me, it might just be three sticks and a rock, you know, because I'm not very handy. But people like Dick and Jeffrey, they might build, you know, a whole mansion out of branches and trees and things and bring their axes and their bulldozers and all that stuff. And so it depends on the person how extravagant these shelters got. But the point was that they were outdoors. They were out where living with nature the way that they were when they were in the wilderness for those 40 years. This feast, it was just celebrated recently in October. That's when it falls, is during our month of October. It's always just after the harvest season, just after the harvest ends, is when they celebrate this Feast of Booths. It was a time to thank God for the harvest. Right? It was their Thanksgiving. They're thanking God for the harvest and thanking them for His provision while their ancestors were living in the wilderness for those 40 years. So that's why I want to talk to you about this today on the Sunday of Thanksgiving weekend. I figured it was appropriate. And it's also appropriate to talk about this today as we head into the Christmas season, because a lot of historians tend to think, based on the weather and some of the cultural things going on, they think that Jesus was actually born during the Feast of Booths. They think Jesus was actually born around October. Now, the reason it was moved to December 25th was because Rome, the Roman Empire, it had an emperor around the second century who was a Christian. And he didn't want, all these pagan holidays that the Roman gods, that the Roman people used to celebrate. He wanted to overturn those. He wanted to turn them into Christian holidays. So he actually moved the celebration of Jesus' birth to December 25th, which was actually in the pagan Roman calendar was, I think it was the sun god, the god of the sun, his birthday. And so so it was a pagan holiday that they were trying to turn into a Christian holiday, and so that's why we celebrate Jesus' birth on December 25th. But Jesus was probably actually born in October during this feast. During the Feast of Booths, people would go to the towns they were born in. That's why the Roman Empire decided to have that census. That's the reason they timed the census when they did, because people were already heading to the places where they were born. And so it just seemed, kill two birds with one stone, right? And let's get a census at the same time. And that's how Joseph and Mary ended up in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. another thing about how this relates to Thanksgiving, how this feast relates to Thanksgiving, is a lot of people, a lot of historians think that our Thanksgiving celebration actually comes from this holiday. It comes from this Jewish feast. Because the pilgrims that came over, when they planted over on the East Coast, they were a religious people, right? That was the whole reason why they came across the ocean and came here, was because they wanted religious freedom. They wanted to be able to worship God without fear of being persecuted. And so they knew Scripture. They knew the law. They knew the Bible backwards and forwards. And so it was entirely possible that they, when they got here and they finished their first harvest and they were thankful to God for providing for them, they may have drawn on this Feast of Booths as a template for Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for His provision. So this feast really is all wrapped around Thanksgiving and Christmas and everything. It's really a good thing. Now the Israelites, the whole reason for this feast, right, was to celebrate the Israelites living in the desert for those 40 years. Remember why they had to live in the desert for 40 years? Because they disobeyed God, right? They had a chance. After only a few months in the desert, they had a chance to go and take the promised land. They sent spies in the land to spy out and find all their secrets and figure out which way they should attack, figure out their strategy. But when the spies came back, the spies said, "Wow, these guys are huge. We are dead meat if we try to attack them. There is no way we're going to win." So the Israelites got afraid and they refused to go into the promised land. They rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and God said, fine, you know what? If you don't want to do this, maybe your kids will. And every man of fighting age who is 20 years old or older is going to die here in the wilderness. And then your kids are going to get into the promised land. So that's why they lived in the wilderness for 40 years, waiting for all those people to die, so that they could finally go and take possession of the promised land that God had for them. But here's what I want you to get. Even during that time, even during that time of discipline, even during that time, that dry season in their nation's history, God still provided for them. God gave them manna every morning to eat. God gave them water. He continued to provide for His people, even during the tough times, even during the hard times, the dry times. God continued to provide for His people. And it's the same with us through our tough times in our life, through our dry times when it feels like we can't take any more, when it feels like God is so far away. He's actually right there. You can't always see His hand moving, but it's there. And He's taking care of you, and He's providing for you. If we fast forward a few hundred years from when the Israelites took the promised land and were celebrating this feast because Moses commanded them to, fast forward a few hundred years past all the judges, past the time of the judges, and past the time of the kings, right? King Saul and King David and King Solomon, and past the time of all the other kings that came after them that were evil, and the exile. Remember, the Israelites were conquered and taken off to Assyria and Babylon. When Israel came back to rebuild Jerusalem. Remember, we just finished a series not too long ago on restoration. We talked about Nehemiah rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Well, that restoration, that rebuilding process wasn't just about the walls. Because when Ezra came out of the temple after Jerusalem was rebuilt and he read the law to the Israelites, and they read about this Feast of Booths, and they realized they hadn't been obeying the law of the Lord, the Bible says the celebration of that feast that year was unlike any that had come since the time of Joshua, since they had taken the promised land. It's never too late. It's never too late to come back and thank God for what He's done for you. Maybe you've been missing that. Maybe you've been putting that. Maybe you haven't even thought about doing that. It just seems like your life is happening around you. And you haven't even thought to thank God for what's going on in your life. Do that today. Take this opportunity to thank God. Remember when Jesus, there was a group of lepers, I think there were seven of them, and Jesus healed the seven lepers, and He sent them off to the priest. It was 10 lepers, you're right, 10 lepers, and Jesus sent them off to the priest to be pronounced clean. How many came back and thanked Jesus? Just one. Just one. Don't be like those 9 lepers. Even if the rest of your life seems like it's falling apart around you, you've been cleansed. Amen? You've been set free. You have eternal life. And that's something to be thankful for. How are you guys doing over there? You guys doing your booths? Oh, okay, we better look before they fall. Don't want the big bad wolf to come along and... Travis has got a booth ball. That's security. Isaac's booth has security out front. He's got bouncers. That looks good. Yeah. Oh, they're shooters. Oh, that's what the security is. He's got guns on his. Okay.
Yeah, because if anybody tries to knock it over,
uh-huh. It'd shoot. Yes, that's right. Here's Abby's over here. Abby's. And Abby, and Abby, oh, my goodness. It's leaning.
Abby,
it's leaning.
And
okay.
Abby,
that's all right.
Abby made mine.
Abby helped you with yours? That's good. That's very nice of her. Okay. And over here? Oh, we got Peyton's right here. It looks like a teepee. That's awesome. That's great. Yeah. We got another teepee over here with an orange roof. That's great.
That's a pink
and awesome. All right. That's nice and sturdy. That'll last. And over here we got a ball and a bowl. Cool, Morgan. Yeah. It's like... Alright. Well, let's pray. Can we pray? Uh-oh, somebody's fell apart. It was Abby's. Fell apart on purpose. She crushed hers. Alright, let's pray, and then we'll close with a song. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you do for us. You are an awesome God. You always provide for us, and even the times when it seems like we're at our driest point and we can't go on, Lord, we know that your hand is there and your hand is providing for us. And we know, Lord, that you love us and that you're never going to let us fall. Thank you, Father. Even in those times of discipline, when we see how much you love us by the way that you discipline us, Lord, we know that you you're in control and that you will never let us down. Lord, I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm.